Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Last week, we saw the text and its call for us to fear. One of the applications of the text was a call to strive for the rest and to fear. Now, I want to give a reminder today. It was not a fear that is a manipulative fear. It's not a challenge to the church to fear God in a way that paralyzes us, but it is a sober spiritual awareness, a sober spiritual alertness. It warned us against the danger of a hardened heart, of drifting away from God's promises, that is a real, very human tendency. Prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. We're reminded that left to our own understanding, we are left to our own strength, we won't make it. And worse than that, we will even begin to choose not to do so. On Friday of this week, we introduced our kids to The Sound of Music. So early on in the movie, when the children first meet Maria, there's this great thunderstorm that rolls in, and they don't know her at all. They don't know her very well. But in their fear, they all end up running to her room for comfort. Unfortunately, it's because their father's room was no longer an option. Their father had lost his tenderness. He addressed them with a military whistle. He expected from them constant discipline in his presence. Constantly keep your composure. You had to have perfect posture whenever he was near, so that when the storm came in their life, they ran to a complete stranger before they'd ever run to their father. And the text today would have us know that this is not how our Heavenly Father is. At first glance, I wanted to remind you, because the call to fear might make us think that God is distant, that God is demanding, but that fear was never about his character. And to make that really clear, the fear that we're supposed to have was not about his character, it's about ours. That's the thing that's scary. We are to fear our own wandering hearts, not our Father's welcome. We are to distrust our own strength and not distrust his compassion. When we look at ourselves, this will be such a theme through this text, we are unstable. It's chaotic. And when we look to Christ, we are to be sure. This week's passage calls us to come, to let nothing hinder us from entering the room of our Father, to run into his room when a storm comes, and to find their help in time of need. As the old hymn says, 'twas the same love that spread the feast, that sweetly drew us in. Else we had still refused to taste and perished in our sin. The fear that we're called to is rooted in a humility of self, recognizing our own weakness and our own desperate need for grace. But then here's the question. Here's the lingering question from where we are so far in Hebrews. If looking at ourselves rightly leads to an honesty and a fear, what should we feel when we look to Christ? Are we to always live in a cowering, always unsure posture, as though help only comes to pitiful beggars? It will only come if you're in that posture, bent over. Well, no. Scripture says that fear drives us away from self and self-trust, and it should push us towards confidence in Christ. The fear of self leads to faith in the Savior. And as we look to him, we are called to live with boldness, not based on who we are, but who he is. That's what Hebrews would have us now turn to. From warning, the letter now moves to comfort. From exposing sin, now it promises grace. And the next several chapters are unfolding Christ as our high priest. It's his priestly ministry. He is a comforter and a help. And in the theme of Hebrews, he is a comforter and help that is better. It is like no other. You have no other access to help in your life other than Christ. You should be fearful that you wouldn't come to him. You should be fearful that you wouldn't access that help. You should be fearful of your own self that you would fail to come. But when we see him rightly, he should draw you in with great comfort and great confidence. That's the focus of today's text. It's the focus on this truth. Because of Jesus, we can draw near to God confidently. Confidently. Look with me at the text, verse 14. Why can we be confident? Why can we come in confidence? The text says this, "Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession." Jesus is your mediator. Jesus is our high priest. In the Old Testament, the high priest's role was to enter the temple on behalf of the people, and he would have to cleanse himself first to make sure that he was right. That was one of the qualifications for a priest, that he was right, and then he would pass beyond the veil, sort of isolated from the people in the presence of God, and offer a sacrifice for the sins of those whom he represents. A sacrifice for the people. It was messy. It was weighty. So we're sort of distant from it. We read about it. It was a gruesome, smelly, heavy practice, and it was repeated year after year. At its very best, it was just a temporary mercy pointing towards something else. At its very best. And I want to be clear about that. The sacrificial system wasn't about appeasing an angry deity. It wasn't about that at all. It's about a holy God who is offering to his people mercy. God didn't demand sacrifices from the priest through gritted teeth, spitting in his anger. He offered a substitute for his people with tears. That's the posture of the sacrificial system. It is a mercy to the people for blood to be shed, sparing them, sparing their blood. God cannot ignore evil. He cannot sweep it aside, but he can provide a way to deal with it. That was always the point. I cannot just wink at this sin, but I can provide for you, and it will be costly, and it will be weighty. In your life, and through all history, sin is the cause of everything that's broken. Every tear, every betrayal, death. Justice demands that it be set right and judged rightly. And if sin must be judged, let me be frank. Even I want sin to be judged. I long for a place where there's just no tears. I long for this place where there's none of this corruption in hell that we see with the curse of sin. But the problem of that, even if I want that, the problem is that I can't even be there. Because my sin has to be dealt with. Sin must be judged, then ours must be judged, unless someone stands in our place. And that is exactly what Jesus does. The text says that he is the great high priest. He doesn't just pass through the curtain of the temple. He doesn't just go isolated into that room. It says that he passed through the heavens. He has entered the throne room of God, bearing not the blood of animals, but his own blood. It's a perfect sacrifice. And he's not only our priest, he is the Son, as Hebrews has told us. His sacrifice is perfect. His sacrifice is complete. It doesn't need a year after year repeating. He's not just buying time. It's done. It is done. It is done for you. When you can come to Christ, you can come with complete finality of the burying of the curse and the raising to new life. And this is a mercy to us from a loving God, not through gritted teeth, but through tears in his eyes. For God so loved the world that he sent his only Son. Because Jesus represents you, now you can come in confidence. Again, not in yourself, not on your own record. Remember, That should bring uncertainty. That should bring a level of suspicion. That should bring a level of fear. I come because of what I've done, what I've learned, who I am, what record I've proven. No, the confidence comes from the object of whom we can come to God through, Jesus, the Son. In him we have confidence. He is the great high priest who stands before God on our behalf. So much of the dynamic of here is looking away from the self. Like Peter, when he was trying to walk on the water, you can kind of remember that image in your mind. When you begin to look at Christ, you can stand. That's the point. When he looks down at his own feet, that's when everything goes wrong. That's when he begins to sink. That's when we see ourselves as uncertain. We see ourselves as incapable. When we look to Christ, we can stand. And in the same way, we keep our eyes on him. That's the point of Hebrews. In every way, Christ is superior. Keep looking to Christ. Just lock your eyes on his superiority in every way. Don't look at your faith. Let me say this clearly. There are times to examine your faith. That was a previous sermon. But what faith is not looking at your faith. What faith is looking to Christ. So when you walk through this week and you say, I want to have faith, well, don't look at your faith. Don't look at your own feet. Look at the object. Faith is looking to Christ. That's what faith is. And it is here, it is in Christ's work that we can be confident. It's the only place that confidence can come. We can enter his throne room confidently. Well, the text goes beyond this and tells us not only who Christ is as our great high priest and how we can come confidently to him, but what exactly is that throne? What is that throne that we are coming to? Look at verse 16. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Verse 13, if you'll remember from last week or take your eyes and look up there, it reminds us that nothing is hidden from God's sight. Now, that's sort of the parallel truth here, is that on the one hand, we are completely exposed before a holy God, and we must give an account. We will stand spiritually naked before the throne of God, and that throne is a perfect place of judgment. The throne of God is where he rules the universe. It's a throne of judgment. And the text reminds us that that should somewhat terrify us. Unless we remember who's sitting there. Before the throne of God above, the hymn says, I have a strong and I have a perfect plea. I have a great high priest whose name is love, who ever lives and pleads for me. Because of Jesus, the throne of judgment is now turned into a throne of grace. The throne of God's holy judgment is to you a throne of grace. And at that throne, we find two things, two descriptions, mercy and gracious help in time of need. Mercy, it is helpful to distinguish the difference. Mercy is the not getting what you do deserve, and grace is the getting of something that you do not deserve. And in his mercy, the not getting what we do deserve, we deserve judgment. But the blow does not fall on us. It falls on the Lamb. It falls on the sacrifice. And the sinless one himself, the very Son, is the spotless Lamb. He becomes sin who knew no sin, so that you and I can become the righteousness of God. He was wounded for our transgressions. By his wounds, we are healed. The Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And in his grace, the getting of things that we don't deserve, not only are we pardoned from our sin, but we're adopted. Sometimes we get the gospel just so short. We miss the fullness of it. It's not that we're just given a clean slate. We are given Christ himself. He is our help now in every need. As we've seen in previous texts in Hebrews, he now calls us brother. And there is help for you. Not one day far off, there is help for you in this very moment. And kids, if you'll hear me now and you believe me now, there will be help for you in every moment of the rest of your life. You can bank on it. He will always be with you. He will never forsake you. You can stand on it, and he will be solid ground under your feet. He will always come to your aid. He is there to supply help and strength and guidance. But how do we know? How do we know that he's can deal with us in all of the uniqueness of our own life? How do we know that he's going to be there in my challenge? Mine's unique. Mine's tough. He doesn't understand my situation. Look again. Look at verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our own weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus doesn't just represent us. He understands us. He doesn't just represent you before the throne. He can help you. You're never going to catch him off guard. He knows what it's like to be hungry. He knows what it's like to be tired. He understands what it's like to be rejected. He knows the pull of temptation. He has felt betrayal. He knows loneliness. He knows grief. He knows the ache of sorrow. He knows friends that won't follow him. He knows intimate companions who will say that they don't even know him. He knows what it's like to suffer faithfully. So much so that no matter what you will face this week, Jesus knows your frame. He not only understands, and he offers help. He will help you in that need. He's not distant. He's not too busy. He is not indifferent. He is near, and he is capable. Maybe this week you'll blow it entirely. You just fall on your face. We are to remember his throne is a throne of mercy. He gives us things that we don't deserve. That's where we are. We find ourselves frequently. If you're stepping into something daunting this week, or you're wrestling with a past failure, he is ready with help, with grace. He is proactive. So today, as is so frequently said in the narrative of Hebrews, and in Psalm, and in Exodus, and in Deuteronomy, today, this week, draw near to his throne in confidence. That's what you're commended to do. As a daily reminder to your ear of how you can do this and why you can do this, even when we pray how the Lord taught us to pray, pause, meditate. Our Father, who's in heaven? Do you believe even the first line of that prayer? You hold on to something in that first line of that prayer when you approach the throne? Our Father. Not like a father who, when the storm comes, you can't run into his room. It's our Father. What are you supposed to understand in that moment? It's the room of your Father, the great high priest. Remember, he's called you brother. You belong there. The throne room of God is a place that you can run to without hesitation. You will always find mercy. You will always find help. When temptation presses you in and you feel like you just have to give in. You ever experienced that? If I'm just going to get past this temptation, the pressure is too hot, I've just got to indulge in it. Look to Christ. He knows the weight of temptation far more than you do because he never gave in. He never gave up. He was faithful to the very end. So he can promise help. Not just advice. Not just, I've been there before. Here's some tricks that you can make it through. He offers help. It is the power of God unto our comfort. God's comfort to you is not just therapeutic. It is the power of God. There's not a thing. This is a good reminder in the lie that tells you you cannot escape this temptation. You must indulge if you're going to have relief. You've got to give in. You can try again later. You can try again another time, but you have to give in. This text reminds us there is help from our high priest. He has been through it all, and he can help you. That's what you bank on. When you say, my situation is too unique, you've never faced this before. You don't have a marriage like this. You don't know what my kids are like. God, you've never been there. He has been through it all. And he can help you. There's nothing in your life that he can't understand. Pray for Christ to take glory in helping you through it. He is sympathetic. He is ready to lead you out. At the apex of pressure, keep holding on. Keep holding on. He will get glory by leading you through it, and it'll be a display of his power. He will get glory by leading you through. Keep holding on. If you believe your situation's too unique and too far gone, if you've hesitated to come near because you doubt his ability to help you, his throne is of mercy. He sympathizes. Draw near, draw near, draw near. Let me ask this week how you will come before the Lord, maybe how you have in the past. The truth is, some never come. Some never come before the throne. They believe that God could never accept someone like them. They see only wrath. They are blinded by that. They do not see the grace. They do not look to Christ, and they only look at themselves. And there is chaos. There is panic. There is a seeming ability to save oneself. There is a perception of wisdom or pride, and some don't come at all. And there are others, and this might be many of us, even in this congregation. We come before the throne, we come sheepishly. This text would remind us not to do that. We come as if we don't belong to Christ. We come as if we're a fraud. We come nervously. But to become nervous as we approach the throne is to believe that Christ must not have done enough to make you ready for that throne room. It's not how we're to come. That somewhere along the line, Christ has not finished his work, that Christ is not done with you. He has not justified you by his blood. There's something left untouched. Don't come nervously. Don't come sheepishly. His work is finished. The call is for you to come confidently. Still others can come flippantly. Flippantly. We become overconfident in ourselves. This text is again reminding us again and again, don't just look at your faith. Don't look at your record. Don't look at your works. Don't look at your own feet. Look at Christ. We lose reverence. Hebrews offers us something better. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the great high priest. Not coming flippantly, not coming reluctantly, but coming confidently because he has done enough, because his work is finished, and he beckons you to come to him and find rest. When we look to ourselves, we will shrink in shame or swell with pride. But Hebrews fixes our eyes on Christ, seeing a Savior who understands your weakness, intercedes for your sin, and offers grace and help for every single need. So don't stay away. Don't be a stranger. That Father's door is open to you. It's a door when the storm rages that you can run into. He will always welcome you. So the charge is this: draw near to the throne of grace. Draw near to the throne of grace that you may receive mercy and help in time of need.